So here are the questions. That when you begin a parsha, the word ki seems to imply it's an if, it's a when. It's not a tzivui, this is what you have to do. That's number one. Then the question becomes, what's zayitnu? Does it mean that if you want to avoid some sort of negev, you have to do it in this way? Machas is a shekel, there's no other option. And then the question would become, well, why? What is the cause of this negev, of this requirement for kapara? Is it the counting itself, or is it something else? Is it simply to avoid the negev? And then we have how you have to do it, and then a repetition, Trumas Hashem. We know it's a Trumas Hashem. What's going on with the rich having to give exactly the same amount? How are you going to count them anyway? And it already says Machas Yisra Shekel. And finally, the buzz ends with the purpose. So, Rashi. Rashi starts us off by saying, Kisisa Lashon Kabbalah. It's the language of receiving something. Just a footnote, just file this away for the future. We never would have translated it that way. We would have said, Kisisa is from the word Naso. Naso es Rosh is to lift up or to raise up. This is a small chiddush of Rashi here that kisisa is lashon kabbalah. It's a language of receiving something. We would have thought it meant when you lift up the head, you're counting them. Rashi says not. So what it means, like leisisa shem mashav, you're not supposed to receive or listen to lashon hara. So that's what Rashi translates it. Kishetach poitz lekabel sikah binyanam, when you want. Rashi right away saying optional, when you want to know how much they are. So then you're not supposed to count them by head. Each one gives a machasis hashekel. Rashi doesn't say count something else. Say some pasuk. You know, Rashi seems to imply the only way out of this problem is the machasis hashekel. Lo yevahem negef, says Rashi, shaminyan shaylet by ayin hara. Because when you count something, it gives a control to what's called ayin hara. V'hadever ba alehem. And apparently, the result of that, this does seem to be a jump in my mind, because if you're going to have an ayin hara, who says it's going to result in a negev? What does ayin hara mean exactly? And then, so we'll get to that a little bit. And dever apparently happens, and Rashi writes, "Kamosha and Sina we made David." Rashi is critical of David HaMelech at the very end of the whole story of David HaMelech. So it says that he did some sort of census, and there was a negev and a big plague to Kalav Yisrael. So here's the first just ha'ara to think about. There's several times that kapara is being mentioned in this little section over here. And there are three possibilities that I want to raise for kapara. What is this kapara for? What are we avoiding negev for? Possibility number one, counting B'nai Yisrael. That's what Rashi seems to be saying, is that the reason you need a kapara is because you need to avoid the negev. What's causing negev? What's causing the problem? Counting B'nai Yisrael. Well, who said counting B'nai Yisrael is so bad? Apparently, when you count B'nai Yisrael, you're creating an Ayin Hara, or potential for Ayin Hara. That results in Negev, you see, from the times of David HaMelech. And therefore, the Kapara is not because anybody did anything wrong, other than this. Is you have to avoid this problem of counting B'nai Yisrael. That's possibility number one. Number two is that counting them is an opportunity, almost, to punish them for something else. In other words, maybe this is like a Heichetimsa, for something else that's a problem. What's the sin that this is coming to atone for? And this goes to the issue of, well, what's it going towards? What are we giving Machas Shekel for? If you, yeah, ease your thumb a little bit over here to get ourselves started. If you're going to say the problem is the counting itself, and you're going to give a Machas Shekel and count the Shekelim instead of the people, okay, we can wipe our hands clean of all issues. No problem. But then why does Kapar have to be repeated again and again? It's like a whole bunch. And it does seem to be several things happening at the same time, which we'll see in a minute. That'll become even clearer. So maybe the point is that because the donations are going to the Mishkan, maybe that's a kapara. Because once you're using this in a positive way, and after all, it's going for karbanos, we spoke about the Kohen Gadol's begadim are a kapara, so maybe it's what it's being used for is really the kapara. So who says it's about the aver of the counting per se? Maybe it's dam averis in general. And it's a kapara because you're giving a donation. And then finally, we have to throw into the hopper over here, what about the Egel Azav? Maybe all of this is a kapara for the Egel Azav. And the three different answers or explanations of what the kapara is are going to have enough kaminas for us because we want to know, can I like write my name in the census? You know, can I, what about in shul? I got to say, you know, Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Kirim Lechem, Hamotzi Lechem, you know, all right, so that's my favorite one. That way someone gets to be Lechem, so I'm listening to Hashem, whatever. But how does that all, is it a one-time thing? Is it a Mishkan thing? Is it, so all of that is going to have enough kaminas. So Rashi, very quick.
Was Matzis HaShekhem mentioned after or before the Egel?
The problem with answering that question is the order of the parshios.
There's no order.
Right. So I won't be able to answer your question, right? In other words, if we would take it in the order it's in, I would have to say, well, it's before the ego. It's the beginning of the parsha.
Mishkan was done after the ego.
So this is a little bit of a machlokes exactly. The tzivui in the text comes first. But many say it was a kapara for the ego, meaning it must have come afterwards. So this is a significant machlokes. So no way to really answer your question. So Rashi very quickly points out, so it's very interesting. Rashi has two pshatim here. A, that the reason that you're giving machasis ashekel is to atone for what? Because you're counting them. So Rashi here's first point seems to go back to what he said before. Counting them creates ayin hara, and that's what you need a kapara for. But then he says something else. Davar acher lechaber al nashos seichem, that it's atoning for something else completely. And here Rashi points out, because there are three things happening at the same time, that's how you read the psukim without it being repetitive. First of all, if you want to count Klal Yisrael, you got to count them with machasis seichem. Second of all, we need donations, because there was a counting of Bnei Yisrael after the Mishkan was established, and that is going to go towards all the karbanos for the tzibur. And then there's something else going on, which is generally the Trumas HaMishkan, the collections for all the materials that we need for the Mishkan. So there are three things that are actually going on. That's how you separate all the psukim and everything, you know, Makomo Yavo B'Shalom. Bottom line, what was Rashi's point here? Is that there are three things happening over here, and therefore, there are two totally different ways to interpret the Kapara. A, counting, Machsis HaShekel, atoning for Ayin Hara, that's one way to look at it. B, the other way to look at it, is that Klal Yisrael needs a kapara. What do you need a kapara for? Rashi here does not mention Egel Ezel. Rashi says, because it's going to the Mishkan. Klal Yisrael needs kapara. So every single generation, there's going to be required donations and machasis HaShekel, not because you're counting people and you need to, maybe that's also true, I don't know. But Rashi, here in the second answer says, because Klal Yisrael needs kapara for whatever affairs they're doing, and that goes towards the Mishkan and Karbanos, to get kapara for things in general.
In order not to have a negev, but after the ego, there wasn't the negev. You were killed. There wasn't a...
At the time or in the future? Which one are you referring to? Because there's also, Rashi also writes that it sort of like happens every generation of future. Hashem never finished the payment.
True. I was thinking more after the ego itself. The future.
So there was a negev on the spot.
They were told to kill each other.
And it was also a negative. It depends on what, according to Rashi, some of Farshim, it means, depends on what they did wrong. If they mamash it, avodah zarah, edim and hasara.
So that's the first thing. They didn't do avodah zarah.
Right. They didn't do, but there were edim, but there was no hasara or whatever. No edim. So Kashmir was going to negative.
The negative was,
okay.
No either way on that. All right.
So that at least sets up at least a little bit of our understanding that there are three things going on. That's clear, A. B, how you understand the kapara. There are two or even three possibilities about what all this kapara is all about. This whole idea of negev and the future and counting people. So Rashi says, critical of David HaMelech, that David HaMelech made this mistake and counted Klal Yisrael. What did he do wrong? So this is also a significant machlokes in the Rishonim. So I have for you two Rambans, where there's actually a little bit of a contradiction in the Ramban. Because the Ramban in this parasha writes, Mipnei shelein esparish kan, im hi mitzvah doros o l'sha'ah l'moshe b'amidbar. Since the pasuk never makes it clear, is this something that's unique to Moshe Rabbeinu? Or is this something that's going to apply for all generations? So David HaMelech made a mistake. He says, that was for that time. They needed perhaps Chet HaEgel. Maybe they needed to atone for the Egel. Or maybe it had to do with Kapara in the Mishkan, in creating a Mishkan. I'm just counting soldiers! So for me, just count soldiers. That's not what he's talking about.
Did
not
they
a problem.
Count other times in the Midbar besides this?
Also a good question. Rashi seems to say no, this is the overlapping. Yeah, it's also complicated because there seem to be a several counts, yeah. And they ended up with like the same number. So does that mean it was the same count, or it means it was the same with two different counts, or somehow you end up with the same number? Also, a big issue. Periods. Yeah,
I'm not gonna make the mistake.
So according to this approach of the Ramban, he did not count them with shkalim because he understood that the shkalim was for the purpose of kapara, either for the egel azov or to get kapara for klal yisrael by making donations to the mishkan, and that has nothing to do with me counting my soldiers over there.
Big risk.
That's Ramban's first answer. His other answer, which is in Bamidbar, that's the other type of nasoes rosh. So the Ramban writes differently that, what do you mean? For sure he counted with shkalim. Of course he counted with shkalim. What are you talking about? So what did he do wrong? It was a totally separate issue altogether, that his kavana in counting Klal Yisrael was to feel good, that Klal Yisrael was doing well on a census, and you know, this is how many soldiers we have, blah, blah. No, that's not the right thing to
say. That, though. Just count with shkalim, you're good. No?
Right, well, you're good in terms of whatever that particular issue was.
The negative.
Right. But so, here is a separate issue altogether. Apparently the Negev was for a different reason.
Oh, it wasn't because of counting. That was an error.
Right.
Gaiva.
Right.
And they deserve to die because that was Gaiva?
Good question. It doesn't
say that Mahatma counted with Mahatma.
It doesn't say at all. That's why there's room for this lack of clarity. Right. But that's two Rambans. It's two Rambans. So the Malbim in Shmuel, where this actually happens, he gets involved in it. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But he starts off talking about this as a significant machlekes, and he says, I don't want to get too involved in it, but this is what I'm going to tell you. That's a short and sweet, he says like this. I have it underlined in the middle, the Malbim. He says, I'm going to say the following. Whatever it is, this machlekes, we'll leave it alone. Ha-tereh-he-ida, but the bottom line is, the Torah testifies, Shahaminyan hu-siba al-bias ha-negev. Yet counting is a cause of negev. That's clear. He quotes our pasuk, of course, and then he says, "Shalish panim." This is for three possible reasons. This is what we're going to zero in on. Is one of his reasons in Rabbeinu Bachaye, and that's we'll see a Zohar, Hakadosh, and then we're going to call it a night. So he says, "What are the three reasons that it causes negev?" Well, what are you going to say? So first, he quotes what Rashi said, "Imitzat ayin hara." K'maysh kasef a philosoph, like whichever philosopher he's referring to, said, "Shemibal nefesh." That if there's a jealousy, so what comes out of the eye, k'tas adim, okay, I have no idea exactly what he's referring to, in some sort of, if you go back years and years and years, there was not a clear division between science and philosophy. Yeah, you know, aware of this? That science and philosophy used to be the same exact thing. That meant that there was no such thing as a scientific method. So when you wanted to understand how something works, you sat there with your thumb, and does this make sense? Make sense to you? Make sense to you? Paskin. That was science. You know, Tov min harufim legehenim, right? The best doctors go together. Like that. It wasn't tested. It wasn't. The chiddush of the scientific method is that we test it, we do experiments, and we see. Because just because something makes sense doesn't mean it's true. So if you, the farther back you go, so you see that there was an understanding of the physical world based on what we would call nowadays philosophy. Anyways, he gets involved in this, whatever exactly the science of his time was saying, whoever he's quoting exactly the philosopher, but that is the science of the time and how exactly jealousy affects the physical world. Perhaps. The observer affects what's observed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you just repeat what you said about something creates iron
hearts? The jealousy. That a lot of the way, sometimes the way that Einhar is understood is that you have a person that's doing something that may be unusual, and it gets the notice of somebody else, and that person says, "What in the world? Why don't I have that? Or what's he doing with that?" And it creates a jealousy. And however this works, which he's trying to explain scientifically, so however that works, it creates an Einhar on the person. Usually we say it's a judgment in Shema. Right, he creates a judgment. What does he do? Is he right? Maybe he doesn't deserve it. That's, I think, how I usually hear people say it. He has a different, some sort of mechanism over here that it really affects the person in the physical world.
So, but it's not something you can see. In other words, it's not something that you can really prove.
Yeah, right. You wouldn't be able to prove it. But that's number one. That the negev is a result of an ayin hara. And then he has another point here, which is what I always wondered on in Rashi. Because Rashi says ayin hara. Okay, so let's say ayin hara. Why should ayin hara result in negative? So if ayin hara results in a din against the person, maybe, or something like that, how's it related to negev? So usually we assume, like this line in the Malbim, that let's say, I don't know, this is really true, they say that that Rav Weinberg from Eish HaTor, that he never checked like the bank accounts. If you needed to the bank accounts. If money needed to be spent, money was spent, you know? And if we didn't have any, we'll get more.
Like,
it
didn't work.
Yeah, you gotta run like a yeshiva baby or something because Ronnie don't listen. So like, whatever. So the Gemara talks about that there's no such thing as bracha after you count what you have. Once you have meiser, once you've counted what you have, you've lost your opportunity for bracha. Why? Because bracha only rests on something that's samui min ha'ayin, that's not visible, that's not subject to the eye. You can't see it. So that's the type of thing that's shayach to bracha. It takes us to a lot of different places, even so far as the world of refuah, where there were those rishonim that wanted to say that doctors are only for things that are clear on the outside. But anything which is not clear on the outside, there's no permission to go to a doctor. That's also some amino ion, and obviously we don't pask in this way, but that is definitely a sheet that we've shown.
Some contemporary rabbis that said don't do ultrasounds because...
Right, that's someone coming from exactly this idea. Some amino ion. Really?
Like colonoscopies.
Really?
Did you say food?
Colonoscopies.
I would
get one, but
for
fun.
What are you doing after this year? Anyway, but so that taken in and of itself is the idea of bracha and maybe what it means to be tzanua things with so that it should be able to have bracha happen to it. But it's not going to result in a negev, right? It's going to result in limitation.
If you have a bank account, you should know how much is in there.
I don't know. I think a bank account is already counted. It's delineated. It's already on the books. Like but that's what they say. They say that Weinberg didn't want to look at the numbers because he felt there was still shaykh.
Only worse are people with pure,
yeah, right.
Or big salaries.
But let's say that you have you harvested all of your wheat, right? You haven't taken meister yet or whatever your produce is because you don't know how much is there. You can daven for bracha before you start counting it. Kosh Baruch Hu, please, you know, and maybe it'll change.
But it's too late then. It's already there.
But not if it hasn't been counted. So you don't really know how much is there. But once you know how much
is
there,
throw the grain into
that
the
requires a nice
gun. You don't really know how much the silo filled up. Like,
but the bank, the bank has a running thing with tits. I don't understand.
Yeah,
it's not going to change if you don't look.
Yeah, I don't know about the bank account, but it was an interesting story.
On my report card.
Good theory. Good theory.
But that's idea. That's idea. That as long as you know, it's not counted, so it's shayach to bracha. It doesn't require a nice gully to have the bracha.
Some people say that by certain also not refuas, but never the other way around. People don't want to tell people what it is. It's less of a ness for it to change.
Guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It takes a much bigger ness if everyone knows that Rahman
Fan. Right. Right.
There's an x-ray under the broken bone for it to be healed
takes
a much bigger ness.
Yep. So that's all part of that picture. And then he says that that's something
how
else.
How does that answer the question that's that for bruch v'chal?
Yeah, but it doesn't. It shouldn't extend to negative.
Negative. It shouldn't cause a negative.
Right.
Seems to be some kind of kitchen, some kind of negative aspect, which ayin hara is yes bad.
Right. So the he has these as two different things.
What's the question?
He seems to delineate two things here. There's three things we did two so far. Number one is ayin hara, and he has this idea that ayin hara somehow injects like a venom. It somehow does something in and of itself, so that could cause, like, apparently a negative. The second thing is that as you count something, it limits it. It creates, like, a problem for bracha. Why should it result in negative? I don't know. But it at least creates a limitation on it.
You have a perkalis that says it removes ayin hara, removes the person from his role, right? Isn't that what it relates here, but it was in perkalis?
That I forget.
Yeah, there's something about the ayin hara.
There's three different Mishnayos that refer to
Moitzeh Tzomei Olam. Most people will die because of the ayin hara.
Yeah, that's a statement in the Gemara, right?
Yeah.
Most people die.
Here the logic of how it measures.
When you get a negative,
you're counting up and the negative is bringing down the numbers. You're trying to say, oh, this is...
Yeah, that's negative? I don't know. Okay. I don't know if I'll have to do that. But maybe. Anyway, but that's the second thing he says over here. And then he says, for oy. This is what I wanted to focus on. As long as the nation has unity and they're all like one man, zechus ha-rabim gadol ma'od. The zechus of the rabbim of all of them together is incredible. Avol kishamoyne roisam, when you count them and separate them, shaz yischashiv ish ish levadoi, and then each one becomes an individual. Yachuvu avoyin aysav. So then his averias become relevant. That's where negev comes from. Yeah. So here, let's focus on this. Okay, he says more, but we'll see it in Rabbein Bechai. Okay. So Rabbein Bechai says like this: Begila lecha kasev. The pasuk is revealing to us over here because it's really talking about machas v'shekels. It sounds like it's talking about a very particular situation, but he says it's really not. There's a yesod here that we need to bring out, which doesn't just apply here. So that's what he means. The pasuk is revealing something to you here. Ki ha'am ha'nifrad b'minyano. When you have a nation, a populace, a mass number, and then you start to separate them all on their own, hine humushka mibala ashkachi saleh. So then he, of course, is paid attention to by a Kaddish Baruch Hu that is in the master of all Hashkacha. And all of his Maisav become Nifratin Lefanav. And all what before, he was just part of Klal Yisrael. Now he becomes an individual, and everything he did gains a certain significance because he needs to be focused on his own. You want like a muscle. If you have a big system, so this part, you know, fits in with everything else. Maybe it's not the shiniest, maybe it's not the best or whatever, but it's really necessary right now because it's allowing everything to function. It's part of the whole mechanism. So I can't really deal with it right now. But if it's separated and it's on its own, so what do I need this one for? I'll get a new one? And then I'll put it in or whatever I need to do. Once it's separated, it has an attention that's paid to it. That's not necessary or irrelevant when it's just part of the whole mechanism functioning together as a unit.
That's the concept of the field of Tzibur, right?
Also related very much to the field of Tzibur. That the field of Tzibur is never ignored. Right. As long as the person's included with everyone else, he's not counted, so then it's a different story. But once his ma'isin become separated from everyone else's, it's almost impossible that there shouldn't be some sort of consequence. We're going to do this. Is also going to be Shtickle 3D, like the Isha Shunama said to Elisha. So if you remember in the Navi over there, so she was the one that made him a place to live, and she gave him. We spoke about this a little bit, and he had such a karasa tov. He says, you know, what can I do for you? I'll speak to the king for you. I'll get you get tax issues. You know, you got what can I do for you? You know. So she answers him, not interested, "Beseich ami ani yeshavas," that I live amongst my nation. It's like a funny thing to say. Like, what do you mean? I'm offering to do you a favor. You don't want my favor. Klaimar, in other words, any reitzah shetispalo b'shmi lifnei hamelech. I'm not interested that you beseech, you know, for the king for me or some sort of sar hatzavah, general, whatever it is. Mutav lishyeh. In Yani Nikhla Bechlal Harabim, I want to be included in everybody else and not some specific, you know, person. Pen Eonesh, lest, you know, attention be paid to my chesronos, to my problems, my negativity. Now he gets a step deeper. And he actually is referencing the Zohar, that's the last source over here. And he says, you should know that it says by Hihayoim. The pasuk says by Hihayoim over there. It was that day. What do you mean it was that day? What's the difference what day it was? Rosh Hashanah Hayah. It was actually Rosh Hashanah. Now this is going to be understood on a different level. What do you mean the Melech? What Melech is he going to speak to? Ribbono Shalom. V'mikan ro'ui ois ha'yam shekol ba'i oylam oivrin lefanev kivnei marayin. On Rosh Hashanah, everyone becomes an individual. But this idea that the Mishnah tells us that everyone goes in front of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, like, you know, like a shepherd goes through all of the sheep one by one. She'yom ha'din, it's like the reverse of what we think. We think it's Yom HaDin, and therefore Kaddish Baruch Hu separates them one by one. This is saying it's the opposite. It said on this day, everyone gets separated one by one. Because everyone's separated one by one, it becomes a Yom HaDin. It's like the day of isolation. Because it's the day of isolation, so then there's the din. Yom HaDin, Fukudas, Oynesh, La'olam, Lispachid, Lidlagwes, it's a very, obviously a terrifying day. Kevin Shikol Yachid Nifrat, because everyone becomes an individual. V'chol Ma'aseh Nifratin, and all of his actions are spelled out individually. Similarly, you find in Rus, he left Eretz Yisrael, he left Klal Yisrael, and he went to the land of Ammon and Moab. Hizkiru akasiv stam. Kishinifer achar gavaniskar. V'shem ha'ish alimelech. And all of a sudden, that's when he becomes Elimelech. Before that, he's just a guy. Yeah? V'yilach ish. What's his name? He doesn't really have a name. Because he's not really an individual. He's part of Klal Yisrael. But then he left. And well, now he has a name. V'shem ha'ish alimelech. Maksiv sham. V'yom et alimelech. And then he died. So this is a Zayar. And it says that that day when it says Yayoim was Rosh Hashanah, and the Lashon HaZohar is V'chi Mila Da Lama Yitzricha Lagaba Itisa. What does a woman need to say? You know, I need something from the king. I don't need something from the king. Delay Nafkes V'le Aziz V'le Alis V'Hechala Demelka. What is she? She's going to be in this in an army? Like, what exactly is going on over here? What's the Pashup Shat? Asks the Zayar. So it changes the pshat. And the Zayar says the pshat is not that he was trying to do her a favor with the king or with the general. Because what is her shaitis to the general or to the king? No, it means the one above. Today, when everyone's being judged, that's what it means, the king. It's the king of all judgment. Do you need something? The king above. What can I do for you? That's what she's saying. Vesechani Anirshavas means I don't want to be spelled out. I want to be considered part of the tzibur. I want to be part of everybody else. You daven for me specifically, and then all of a sudden, all the things I did wrong become relevant as well. So I'm part of Klal Yisrael. I don't want to be separated out at all. And the last word underlined: the Bechol Zimna Rachamim Kachabrichu Alam the Kulichat. Because there's always Rachamim on Klal Yisrael when they're considered to be a unit. We always daven, you know, with Klal Yisrael. Even when we make a Misha Berach Macholim, Besoch Shar Chol Yisrael. We're always including everything with the rest of the Tzibur. So, okay, what's my point? My point is that you'll notice in the Malbim, you'll notice in the Rebbeinu Bechaye, you'll notice even from a reading of Rashi that this isn't Ayin Hara. Yeah, you noticed that? This is not Ayin Hara. I think we sometimes mix this up. We think Ayin Hara means there's like a jealousy and it causes a din in Shemayim. That's not what they're saying. What they're saying is that as long as a person is not particularly noticed, as long as a person maintains this, I'm part of everybody else, so then it's not an Ayin Hara issue, it's a din issue. It's a totally separate point. So that's why the Malbim has three different ideas. Ayin Hara, there's the limitations of Bracha, and then there's this, like a din on a person that's separated from Klal. So B'soich Ami, Ani Yashaves. I want to be amongst everyone else. So this morning I was listening to a Shmuz.
Hashem was not a din.
Of course Hashem knows the difference. My gut reaction was that you know, there's this thing called like Hashkacha Pratis, you know? So like, as long as a person is part of Klal Yisrael, there's like a certain Hashkala Klalis. That was like my first reaction. That many of the Rishonim, the Rambam especially, you know, he says that, does the Kadosh Baruch Hu really care about that chicken, you know, that bird? The Kadosh Baruch Hu makes sure that the species does whatever it needs to do. But there's no Hashkacha Pratis on like any particular, you know, animal. That's what the Rambam certainly writes like that. So, you know, there's a certain Hashkacha Klalis on Klal Yisrael too. But I think it might even be the opposite. That the Hashgacha practice is that as long as you're part of the mechanism of Klal Yisrael and you're needed for Klal Yisrael and you're part of Klal Yisrael, then you become part of that mechanism, and then it can be not overlooked, but at least temporarily, a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to pay attention right now to every single particular detail. But if a person's going to separate himself, so then the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, oh, you're on your own. So there's Hashgacha practice. Very much Hashgacha practice.
If you're saying that Hashem doesn't have to, quote unquote, be concerned with part of the club, isn't that a limitation?
No, you can do whatever he wants. But the system, Kadosh Baruch Hu, starting point is always with system. Now the system is constantly powered by him. So, you know, it's on the one hand, Hashgacha Pratis means that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is constantly allowing everything. So this spoon only exists at this second, right now. All the molecules together, everything is happening because the Kadosh Baruch Hu wills all that to be happening right now. So it's not like something Kadosh Baruch Hu set in motion and it's in motion. Not like that. Kadosh Baruch Hu wills it all right this second to be. Now, does it have to be this particular plastic went into this particular spoon and where it came from in the world? All these things? That's not relevant. But that's what it is. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu is doing this right now. As opposed to, is a certain type of Hashgacha Pratis? But it's a Hashgacha Klalis. Because who cares which spoon, where that spoon ends up, and like if it's in this package, that package, who uses it here, who uses it there? It's a plastic spoon. But then there's a Hashgacha Pratis on what I'm doing with the spoon, and is it going to break when I'm eating and cut my mouth? You know, things like that. That's a different type of Hashgacha Pratis altogether. So, if a person is, you know, part of the spoon, so to speak, so then he needs to be judged in relationship with the rest of the spoon.
A person should not be stand out.
The person should not stand out. Standing out is very dangerous.
I've always wondered how there are so many dinners that somebody is singled out.
Okay. So this is basically what I wanted to get to at the end, because this is the practical part of all this. Yeah.
What you said is, if you go to, so many people go to Sadiqan, and they ask him to daven for him, based on what you just told us, isn't that separating yourself from the cloud? How come?
It's an interesting question,
how come,
right?
So many people do it.
So interesting. So my daughter said to me tonight, she said that there was a baby in her class that was sick, and the Mora told them that they should daven for the baby, like keep the baby in mind, but they shouldn't say the baby's name. If she's really sick, then you should say the baby's name. That's what she was taught today, Pesachim. So, yeah, in other words, it's interesting. We do spell out a chayla because if there's a particular need, then we want to daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu for that particular need. But we never leave it isolated. There's never a chayla that remains isolated.
Is this chayla?
The
tzaddik
represents the people.
Even the tzaddik, when he davens, it's...
Are you separated based on the...
But even...
The rock is different also.
You said Ellie. Who is it? Ellie said, they said you shouldn't... she said, don't daven for me because...
The Sukhani Amir Shabbos, right.
So based on that, how could you ever go to a Sukhani?
It's an interesting point you're making, you know? But I think when we daven, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us to daven, certainly for ourselves, so we try to include ourselves and everybody else, and the tzaddik is davening is, you know, besoich shar, whatever people need.
No, but if
you're
going to a tzaddik's grave, you don't daven to the tzaddik because the tzaddik is not here, but it inspires you to, you see a tzaddik, inspires you to be better, so your tefillos are better.
But he wants to know, how can the tzaddik daven for you? Isn't that dangerous?
You, based on what we just want here, you're separating yourself from the
crowd. Mm-hmm. I hear. So I was listening to Ashmiz this morning from the Rosh Hashiva from Yeshiva Gedolah Salamanti, or Elazar Simcha Leib. And he said, if you look at the end of the little parsha over here, it says, like we mentioned in the beginning, everyone gives the same amount. So I already pointed out, you're counting everybody, right? Now again, it's not so simple that you have to use the machaseh sashekel. You're avoiding negev by not isolating people. Does it have to be a machaseh? Rashi sounds like it has to be machaseh sashekel. But others learn maral, and others doesn't necessarily have to be a machaseh sashekel. So then, what's the role of the machaseh sashekel? So if you say that the machaseh sashekel is connected to avoiding negev, if we learn that way, like Rashi seems to imply, that way. So there's another element here also. Usually, we all know this from tuition, that there's a certain amount of money that has to go to the school to pay the budget. Not everybody can pay their fair share. What does it mean, fair share? Well, there's no real fair share. There's an assumption that how much money we can get out of many people, and then we'll have to ask more from the people that can pay more. Hashir, yarbe, madal, yamit. Right? That's usually how it goes, is that the dal pays whatever he can pay, and the usher has to make it up. But there's a certain chisarin in that, he said, because then the usher is showing that he's the usher. Yeah?
How does everybody know?
Maybe nobody knows. Maybe nobody knows. And that's the advantage of the idea of Matana B'Seser. That whenever you can do something in a way that doesn't stand out, you can be the usher and not stand out. That's the best way. To give tzedaka b'tzina, to give tzedaka in a way that nobody knows. That's the best.
Yeah, but it's a hard concept because if you live in a mansion,
right,
chances are you're not a pauper.
So that's the spectrum.
You need to listen to
but
a
that's
podcast. You can't make assumptions on anything.
So that's what's so interesting about all of this is that there is always a risk of isolation when a person is doing things differently than the tzibur. Now, who's the tzibur? What's the tzibur? If a person lives in a very wealthy community, that's what everybody does. It's almost like the opposite. If he lives differently, he's pointing himself out. He's making himself, you know, singular in a different way. But if he lives like everybody else, then everybody thinks he's like everybody else. So everything is relative to the community, but the idea is that there is a certain risk of negef din when a person is separated from the tzibur. And that's the yisod ha-dvarim.
Well, machaseh sashekel really doesn't seem like, if you really want to do fundraising, it doesn't seem like they're going to raise that much money. They could say the minimum you get is a machaseh sashekel. That's the minimum, and anybody who gets more, and everybody gets a chip or something.
Yeah. So that's what Rashi is saying, is that the machaseh sashekel was only to count people.
Yes.
That was all. That was always about.
Really,
but the last idea, the Trumas Hashem, is that the donations to the Mishkan. That everybody gave whatever they could. whoever, richer, poorer, whatever, it was dependent on the individual. Okay. But when it comes to Machas and Shekel, that's why Rabbi Leif felt that it goes back to this idea, because it means to say that the usher and the ani, they have to give the same amount. Why? To avoid the negev. Because to the extent that you distinguish yourself from everybody else, that's the risk of negev. So we don't want to count anybody because we're risking negev. See, if we would make it, listen, somebody give a coin. Whatever the coin is, we don't count the coins. Who cares? It's a big coin, it's a little coin. All we gotta do is count the coins. And we'll know how many people there are. Why does it have to be dafka, machas, and shekel? There's an extra element. There's an extra element. Which is that you shouldn't stand out, because if this is a big coin, right, so we don't know. But in concept, it's the same idea.
100% participation, give what you can. Some people give $1 million. They still want a dollar just to, you know, make a unity.
Yeah. So that's what he added to all of this, is that it's another element that the negative is to stand out. Anyway, so that's the issue. So just to summarize a little bit, so when you start the parsha, it does seem like it's a little bit of a mess, because it sounds like you can count people, but then you have to give certain things, and it talks about kapara a whole bunch of places, and there's negev involved in there. So Rashi spells out there are definitely three different things happening, and then the kapara is an interesting question. How do you look at the kapara? Because there are three possibilities here. There's the kapara of the counting. There's the kapara of generally every year we need kapara, and that's why we have a base on Mikdash, a Mishkan in this particular case. And there's a kapara for Egel Azah, which is one of the reasons, according to many Mepharshim, that we have the Mishkan altogether. Those are three things that have to be taken into account. That may imply that it only applies for a certain generation, and it doesn't apply later, which according to some was the mistake of David HaMelech, that it does apply for all time. Does it all time mean it have to be Machzis HaShekel Dafka? Or could it be anything? Can it be other things? Can you know Hoshias? And does it apply, by the way, in Shul? Is that's a Tzibur? It's not counting Klal Yisrael. And people have a Shiloh, Halach Lamaisa, one of the census in Eretz Yisrael. Like, these are Shilohs that are asked Lamaisa, you know, how does all of that work, which we didn't get into. That's all Lakashir for a Shabbos afternoon.
We still use that.
Right, we do it. It's a minig. The minig is still going to be there.
The minig is just in case.
But the Malbim points out that you should know that there's a big machlekes about this, but at the end of the day, everyone agrees counting equals negev. Why? And he gives us three explanations. Ayin hara, limitations of bracha, and then this idea of separation from the klal, which creates like a certain din against an individual, because he gets hashkacha pratis. He gets paid attention to as an individual, and that we see, according to Zera Kaddish, from his interaction between Elisha and the Isha Shunamis, that I'm among my nation. Rabbi Lee pointed out also that when the parsha ends and it says, Ze Yidnu, everyone has to give exactly the same amount, Asher lo yarbeh. So usually the usher is marbet to make up for the deficit. But here the point is to count and avoid negev. So if he's going to give more, so then he's already pointing out that he's an usher. And that could create exactly the negev that we're talking about, that he becomes individualized.
Here's another, they're making the same with, if you count, you have to count. It's a secret way to count. But if you count, then you're going to get a negative. Well, I'm telling you to count.
Well, so that's also part of it. You'll notice in the beginning, there's no tzivui. There's no tzivui to count, right? It doesn't say you have to count. You have to give a machas yishchol for the Mishkan every single year. For the Beis HaMikdash, for Karbanos, that was every single year.
You
don't have to count everybody. You don't have to count everybody. They put it into a container.
The second book said that said they're trying for dinner.
So that's what Ari put out also, is that Chazal tell us that when a person davens with tzibur, tzibur is never ignored. But if a person davens on his own, he better give that tefillah a lot of power, because otherwise it's not so precious. It's a long distance call from here.
It's like, actually, the Hashem is constantly encouraging you to count all your produce, count.
For Meister,
you gotta count everything.
What else?
Meister,
for the roof.
Oh yeah?
Just can't avoid it, right?
Interesting.
But that's to help others.
Yeah, maybe.
For the
seaport.
Right.
Okay.
That's
a
good point.
If anybody would like to take home, or take home containers.